Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This is People Every Day. Coming up, inside model Ashley Morgan Smith-Lyne's disturbing claims of abuse at the hands of musician Marilyn Manson. Plus, the wife of former Hillsong pastor Carl Lentz speaks out amid his cheating scandal, and comedian and host of The Circle, Michelle Buteau, gets hilariously candid. It's May 6th. Hi, everyone. This is People Every Day, and it is I, Janine Rubenstein, bringing you the news and notes this Thursday. It has been a long week, y'all. I'm not even going to go into details about the afternoon I had yesterday, which involved running errands with a severely carsick kid and a severely teething infant. Nothing will ever be the same, I promise you, but I can't complain, okay? Today is Nurses Appreciation Day, and though my kids make me feel like one sometimes, it's the real nurses out there who deserve all of the praise and recognition today. So air hug a nurse if you know one. Later in the show, I chat with hilarious comedian and actress Michelle Buteau, who hosts Netflix's hit social media social experiment reality show, The Circle. Yes, the one that's like a popularity contest mind game where no one knows who's who or what's what. Michelle talks about that and her hit comedy special, and we'll just have you cracking up the entire time. So stay tuned for that. But first, top stories, and joining me to go through those is People music writer Tomas Mier, a People Every Day first timer. Hi, Tomas. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Janine. I'm your biggest fan, so this is really exciting.
Well, thank you so much. At least I have one. I love it. So first off, let's start with something that has been bubbling up for months now. Former Hillsong Church pastor Carl Lentz, and I say former because he was let go due to it coming to light that he had had multiple infidelities within his marriage. But we're getting more information now out of what's going on with his wife, right? So take us through just what happened. It was around like last October, last November, and what we're hearing now from Laura Lentz.
Yeah, so Carl was let go from Hillsong in November due to this cheating scandal. And he spoke out at the time, but his wife stayed completely silent until now. Yesterday, she posted an Instagram message addressing it all. She didn't address it directly, but she posted a photo of trees and talked about their symbolism and how she stayed strong like those palm trees.
Okay, so this is the first time we've heard from her since everything went down, right? So what happened? What do we know about Carl and just the stickiness he got himself into last year?
Yeah, so he was fired in November due to moral failures. And at the time, there had been an audio that leaked where one of the church executives was saying that he took part in multiple significant affairs before he was terminated. And at the time, a source told People that Laura was standing by his side through this whole thing and working very hard to stick with him. And she spoke about how she's learned a lot about herself over the past few months and has learned about the kindness of God, his grace and forgiveness, and how she's built true friendships during this time as well.
So we should say that Pastor Carl Lentz is known as that hip young pastor that attracted Justin Bieber to Hillsong Church. Justin's no longer a member, but he was baptized by Pastor Carl Lentz. And, you know, this is the pastor with the ripped jeans and the tank top and the well-moosed hair. And he has always kind of attracted that celebrity, that young demographic to the church. But he has gotten himself caught up in just a very messy situation. So what do we know about his relationship? He and Laura, she posts this statement for the first time, but like, how are they doing?
Yeah, so we really don't know very much about how they're doing. We do know that she had a source that told us that she was trying to stick by his side. And with this post, they do share three kids. And she posted these palm trees and said, they're strong, can weather the biggest storms, and they always grow upward, which I think is a metaphor to their relationship. It seems like they're staying strong and trying to push past this because it was a pretty big deal.
All right, Tomas. So this next story is a very big one, a breaking story, and it's actually your first cover story for People. So congratulations for that. But it's dealing with some heavy stuff. So I just want to put a trigger warning out there for anyone. This story we're going to get into has to do with domestic violence and claims of rape. You know, if you need to shield yourself. So Tomas, talk to me about Ashley Morgan Smithline. This is People's cover story this week. She's a model, and she has some really, really painful allegations against Marilyn Manson. So just take me through her story.
Yeah, so Ashley Smithline met Marilyn Manson in 2010, and they had a relationship, she says, over the course of 2 years. Of which she basically shares that she survived basically living hell. She tells People that she survived the monster and that she went through a lot by his side, sexual abuse, domestic violence, as you were saying, psychological torture.
I was afraid for my life every single moment I was with him, but more I was afraid that he was gonna get rid of me and find someone else. Like that's very brainwashed.
But we do need to keep in mind that a spokesperson for Manson did address her direct claims, saying they strongly denied them, and also saying that this relationship, to the limited extent it was a relationship, didn't last 1 week. She did share screenshots of emails and messages with Manson over the course of 2 years with People, and this is the first time she's done an interview since posting a statement along with the other alleged victims of Manson back in February.
So take us back. Who is Ashley Morgan Smithline, and when did her relationship with Manson begin?
Yeah, so Ashley was a model, or is currently a model, and she spent a lot of her time overseas in Asia, modeling mm-hmm. for different magazines and things like that. And she was connected to Manson in 2010 over the summer, and they started talking about a film role, and they started to build a genuine connection over the next few months. And come November of that year, she says that Manson flew her out for this film project. She says that she was lured in by his intelligence while she was abroad. And once she flew out, things completely changed. Just days into her being there, she says that he whipped her on her back with a swastika whip. And at the time, it was during filming. So under the guise of this project, he would whip her and hurt her. That physical abuse turned sexual, and she says she was raped and would wake up with him having sex with her sleeping body.
So, she successfully left him in January 2013, and that was about 2 years into their relationship. But she says it continued to take a toll on her. So tell me, how did she get up the courage to leave, as she says, and what has that journey been like for her?
For sure. For so many domestic violence victims, leaving their abuser is very difficult. And she tried leaving multiple times. And also it's important to keep in mind that during their relationship, she was going abroad to model for months at a time and would return to LA to be with Manson. And while she was in LA, she experienced like cutting during sex and forcing her to do drugs and things like that. And January 2013 was the last time she saw him.
Wow. And what moved her to share her story now? This is coming, of course, on the heels of multiple women's claims. Evan Rachel Wood, you know, very famous actress, Esme Bianco, they have shared similar accusations against him. What pushed her to share her story right now?
For sure. So last September, six of the women who allege abuse from the hands of Manson met up for the first time and spoke about what they went through. And so on February 1st, these six women posted statements on their social media stating that Manson had been their abuser.
And that sisterhood, as she calls it, right? That is something that she's been leaning into. When it comes to his response, of course, as you mentioned earlier, he denies, you know, all this, says they only had a week-long relationship. But this is not just her. This is, like we said, multiple women. So just in covering this, what have we seen from his camp in terms of the amalgam of accusations that are coming forth?
After the women posted their statement, he did put out his own, saying that all of his intimate relationships have been with consensual, like-minded partners. He called the women's stories horrible distortions of reality.
So, Tomas, what do we know about this investigation that's happening right now?
Yeah, so a month ago, actually in March, the LA Sheriff's Department put out a statement saying that they're starting to investigate Marilyn Manson on domestic violence. However, that doesn't mean that there's been charges or anything like that, just that an investigation has begun. So we won't know very much about what has gone on until LASD puts out a statement stating charges or anything of the sort.
Wow. Tomas, thank you so much for coming on and explaining all of this and for bringing, you know, these stories, these accusations to light even more so with the story. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Janine, for having me.
Anyone still in need of a Mother's Day gift this weekend? Well, I spoke with a woman recently whose company makes gifts that really do keep on giving. Sarah's Bag was created by Lebanese designer Sarah Baidoon and is not only a handbag and accessories company, but also a social enterprise that employs over 200 women, many being ex-female prisoners or underprivileged women in Lebanon, giving them the opportunity to provide for their families. Sarah recently shared her story in the short documentary film series 5, presented by MasterCard, which shows the journey of five women from five countries. And here's what she shared with me about what inspired it all.
Initially, my idea was to start a support program for female prisoners and to train them on various handwork techniques. And these techniques would later be used to produce handbags. And with the money they would earn, they could hire lawyers to overturn their wrongful convictions. They could educate their kids and they could start a new life once they're out of the prison.
What were some of the things that you were seeing in those early days that women were up against, they were being imprisoned for?
First of all, we have a very, our judiciary system in Lebanon is you're guilty until proven innocent. So they spend years in the prison before being judged for their crime. So I remember I had a few cases where the woman worked with us to be able to have enough money to pay for a lawyer. And once she had the money and she paid for the lawyer, she was able to prove that she was innocent.
You say in the film that we need more people who support missions. What do you mean by that?
I think the businesses, like now people, and especially after the pandemic, people are more aware of everything they purchase and everything they do. And the companies that are going to survive and that are going to continue working are companies that should have a purpose. Like a company should not exist only for profit. It should exist to fill in or to solve a problem.
Next up, comedian Michelle Buteau takes us behind the scenes of filming The Circle and what her last year has been like. Stay tuned.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Thank you. I know there are a lot of fans of Netflix's hit social experiment show, The Circle, out there, myself and my husband being two of them. And I gotta tell you, this last season did not disappoint. The finale just happened, but for those who haven't seen it yet, don't worry, no spoilers here. I did, however, catch up with former NSYNC star and host of Unicorn Hunters, Lance Bass, whose assistant famously catfished the other contestants on this season of The Circle, pretending to be him. So first, listen to just a little of what he had to say about all that.
Her original plan was just to go in as herself, but I was like, you know what? It'd be funnier if you just go in pretending you're me, because it might, I don't know, people might want to keep you longer just to see if it's me or not.
Craziness. But today, another person who's in the know on The Circle, Michelle Buteau, is with me. Known and loved as a stand-up comedian, actress, podcast host, and author, she is currently the unmistakable voice of, I shouldn't say voice of reason, maybe voice of random hilarious commentary on The Circle. Hi, Michelle. How's it going?
Hey, Boo. How are you? Wow, what a fabulous intro.
Oh, yay. Well, you're a fabulous, fabulous guest. So, okay, we're going to get into everything but The Circle, because my husband went crazy when I told him I was interviewing you. He was like, what does she know? What can she tell you? So let's back out. For people who haven't watched, which is like maybe five people listening, how does this show work? What is the premise?
It's like even one of those shows that's hard to describe, right? So it is a reality show competition that focuses around social media, and there is a Circle app that you can communicate through, but no one will actually meet until the end, or maybe in between when they get kicked off, and you can catfish, and everyone's vying to be the most popular person or well-liked person, an influencer for $100,000.
Mm.
So all those words together sound crazy, but when you watch it, you know, it's a really fun watch. There's so much that could be misconstrued in a text,
uh-huh.
Whether it's tone, whether it's like, you know, too much info or not enough, and what your profile might say about you in the background, the whole nine. And even, you know, the reason why people might catfish is fascinating. But, you know, unlike real social media, at the end, everyone gets to meet each other, and you know, they are quarantined. LOL, what's that?
I know. Well, you guys kind of kicked that whole thing off. It's so crazy. Like, this was how it was set up originally.
Well, season one, yes. Yeah. So it's originally a UK show. The production company is based out of the UK. So we film in the UK. And there is also a French version, a Brazilian version, and also the American Netflix version. And so when we did season one, I was like, oh my God, what a crazy idea that people are just stuck in their apartment and can't see anyone and have to sort of communicate through this message app. How great. And then by season two, we actually filmed during the pandemic.
Yeah.
Safely, of course, like, you know, with any production, you have to follow all the rules and regulations and keep everybody safe. And everybody was more than willing to, of course. And so, you know, we had all gone to England, quarantined for the 2 weeks, hardcore quarantine, not like a, I'm going to go out to the bodega with a mask on quarantine.
Yeah.
Food shows up at your door. I mean, I was like Tom Hanks in Castaway, but I was gaining weight. You know what I mean? We were very excited to actually meet everybody at the end, like way too excited. And you know, I haven't seen my parents in over a year. And so just the people that I've sort of been following and doing voiceover for a couple weeks, I was like, bring it in, you know?
So, okay, you talked about catfishing. You have someone this season who is catfishing as Lance Bass.
Yes.
Like, did you guys ever, like, approach actual celebrities for this? Or did she just decide, like, this was going to be what she did for her 2020?
You know what's so funny is that casting, it's a really wide net, right? So
yeah.
I am out of the casting process, which is so hilarious only to me because I have so many DMs of like, do you have the hookup? I got a voice. I need people to see this. I got a message. I got a light for the world to see. And I'm sure you do, Boo, but I'm not the one. Like, you can go to the website and hit up casting. Like, I do not have the hookup, honey. You know, I could barely find a clean pair of panties and socks to match. But she's a good person. Celebrities have told me in jest that they would like to be on the show. And I think that would be I would think that would be hilarious. And a lot of, you know what? I have met a few celebrities who actually catfish online so they could sort of express their opinions, their political opinions, this, oh, that, and the other. And just, you know, yeah.
So, okay, if you were on The Circle, what would your strategy be? Because you get to sit back and be removed and throw the shade and throw the congrats and kudos here and there. But if it was you, what would you do?
That's so hard. You know, The Circle is sort of like stand-up. So you can have a plan, but once you get up there and once you get into the chat, it's all out the window. So for me, I don't think I would catfish. I would definitely be myself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've worked so hard to just be me. I wouldn't know how to be anybody else.
Right?
I don't know. I really don't know. My strategy would be like, take it as it comes. I have no idea. Probably a peacemaker too. You know, I think once you have big boobs and freckles and a little bit of back fat and skinny ankles, you just become maternal.
Stop it.
I can't stop. Full stop.
Speaking of maternal, how's mom life? How's it going?
Oh my goodness. It is fast and slow, you know?
Yeah.
Fast and slow. It's beautiful once I get to sit down and think about it. But yeah, man, no one really tells you what it all do that you will never feel like you're getting it right. You always feel like you're doing it wrong, but deep down inside, you know, you're doing a good job, but no one will tell you that. It's just insane.
And we're talking about your twins, Otis and Hazel. They're two.
Yes.
They're two now. Is it terrible two? It's really terrible threes.
Terrible. You know what? I feel like it's all terrible and wonderful, you know, because twos, I feel like, are pretty cool because they understand more, even though they have the strength and the sass of a teenager. I mean, cannot say words and sentences properly, but whole ass opinions. I'm like, all right, it's just a banana. You don't have to roll your eyes and throw it at me. But yeah, I mean, any relationship with anybody in your life that is new, you're always going to have to hold up that ugly mirror to like, why do you do that? So when people ask me how your twins, I'm just like, I feel overwhelmed. They're like, but how they do? They fine. Isn't that me? So yeah, it's just really interesting, but obviously like so lovely. Like I've worked so hard to be a tired mom. So I'm feeling like real thankful.
So I want to give you congrats. You tied with Jerry Seinfeld very recently at the Critics' Choice Awards for your stand-up show. Like, what? How did that feel?
That is so crazy. You know what? It's one of those things because, you know, still putting out amazing, beautiful content during the worst year of all of our lives, you know, universe. It's so crazy. So it really feels like a dream within a nightmare where I have to remind myself about all these blessings while I'm loading the dishwasher for the third time. And so I'm still stuck in these four walls. So, you know, I was at the award show via Zoom, much like this. And then I saw Seinfeld and homegirl was just like, it's a tie. That means two people won. I'm like, I know what a tie is. Get to it. And then she said Seinfeld. I was like, oh Lord, I got to lose twice. Just trying to smile and like butt clench. Just like, all right, everyone. I can't wait to take my bra off. And then she said my name. And you know, to be the first woman to win is so amazing and kind of ridiculous at the same time. Because there are so many hilarious females, but just like every other female, just like every other black person in every writer's room or whatever room is happening, you have to just be the best and then some. And so, look, I'm really proud of myself. This is a very long-winded answer. You need to come.
No, I like it. I need all of it.
Like,
just live in your glow.
Journalists let you go, and you got to cut me off.
Live in your glow. I love it. It's a podcast. That's why I do this. So I can dig in and get all the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, I'm proud. I'm just like, get back to writing because, you know, all of this matters.
That was Michelle Buteau. For more on her, head over to people.com. And now something teacher-related to make you smile. It's always interesting to hear how teachers step into their passion and also how they are rewarded in that. So Thetis White is a former football coach, now fifth grade teacher at Monroe Elementary in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. He decided to become an elementary school teacher in order to make an impact and serve as someone that Black students can connect to and see themselves in. Many of his students students say he's helped them overcome being shy and always encourages them to give their full effort. But the appreciation for his work hasn't only been in the form of words. He was recently given the surprise of a lifetime, $50,000 to help with his own student loan debt. Listen.
On behalf of Box Tops for Education and Black Men Teach, we would like to present you with this $50,000 check.
Just a beautiful example of what goes around does come around. Talk to you all tomorrow.